Thank you. I've asked Maureen to bring us a reading from Ruth chapter 2, and then Susan will come.
Ruth meets Boaz in the cornfield. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favour in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town until her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth, the Moabite, said, "He even said to me, Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you may be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
Thanks, Marion.
That was a long reading, wasn't it? Harvest Sunday. Harvest service. What do you think of for a harvest service? It's interesting listening to Lily talk about the children in preschool. It used to be playschool in my day. Preschool. That's what I remember of harvest services. Taking in, well, my dad getting out into the back of the garden, digging up the largest beetroot you can find, and chopping down some Michaelmas daisies and taking those in either to school or to church. And they're fantastic displays of produce. Do you remember harvest services like that?
The smell.
Yeah. And then particularly at school, all the produce would go to an old people's home. And I was always hoping that I'd be one of the ones that would be chosen to go and take the produce to the old people's home, because get out of school for the morning. So what has this got to do with harvest? We don't have any display of vegetables, fruit or vegetables this morning. The only display we have is communion here this morning, the bread and the wine, and maybe there's a real significance in that. But that's a conversation for some other time. What has this got to do with harvest? Serious Forgotten Families, the BMS appeal. Well, maybe we need to just take a step back and begin to understand the principles behind harvest celebration. Let's go back to the Old Testament. How well do you know your Old Testament? Moses led the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. He led them into the promised land. They'd become God's people. They were God's nation. And God gave them guidelines on how to be his nation. We find in Deuteronomy, this is what it says, when you've entered the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket, then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. In Exodus, they were to celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops that were sown in the field. Harvest, it's about celebrating God's goodness, his abundance. It's about being aware of where it all comes from. I was so encouraged to hear Lily talking about how they want to get the children to understand where the fruit and the vegetables come from, but even where the rain comes from and who's behind it all. But it's not just understanding, is it, that where all our blessings and abundance comes from. It's about understanding the responsibility that comes with blessing. Last week, we were praying for communities and praying blessing on our communities. As a community here, we have been blessed so much. The reason we are blessed so much is that we might be a blessing. And although all through Israel's history, quite often they chose to ignore God's leading, God's rules, God's advice. In the book of Ruth here, we've got a real recognition that we all need God's blessing. You were listening closely to Maureen. When people met, they pronounced a blessing. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted his harvesters. What did he say? The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." When good things happened, they blessed God. The mother-in-law said to Ruth, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose care she'd been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," said Naomi to her daughter-in-law. None of us are self-sufficient. And none of us should be self-centred either. Well, the story in Ruth carries on in recognition that there are those who find themselves and felt themselves to be outside of God's blessing. Naomi is a returning immigrant. She arrives in Bethlehem in tragic circumstances. Her husband and both her sons have died. She's accompanied by her immigrant Moabite daughter-in-law. And she bitterly sums up her plight with God in her sights. "The Lord has afflicted me," she says. "The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." She certainly felt herself to be outside of God's blessing. But this story, its account in the book of Ruth, it's about how those who've experienced misfortune for whatever reason, those who are on the outside or on the edge, how they can be brought into the centre of community life, how they can find the blessing of God again. And whilst in the Old Testament the laws are very specific in the treatment of disadvantaged, of the vulnerable, there are few instances in Scripture where God's people are recorded as practicing these laws. But here in the book of Ruth, we find in some ways almost an idyllic community where such commandments seem to be part of the fabric of social life. Let's just look at some of the laws that the people of Israel would have known. Back in Deuteronomy 24, it says, "When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, don't go back for it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from the trees, don't go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest grapes in your vineyard, don't go over the grapes again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. That's why I command you to do this." People of Israel, God's people, were to remember where they had come from. They were slaves. And because of that, knowing God's goodness, then they would have an attitude of looking out for and looking after the foreigner, the widow, the fatherless. So the story in Ruth kind of gets underway when Boaz tells his workers to leave the corners whilst harvesting the crops, you know, allowing Ruth to gather enough to feed herself and her mother-in-law. Now, leaving the corners in fields of crops these days is not done, is it? In our very highly technical, market-driven society, that just does not happen. It's not an obligation. And legalising such generosity would be seen as interference in the free market, completely unworkable and unenforceable. So, as the people of God, what would it mean to leave the corners of the field today? Any ideas? That's not a rhetorical question. Any ideas? How can we put that principle into practice?
By putting something into the box at Waitrose or anywhere where you come out, because there's normally a box, a bit like the box we have at the back, for people who perhaps, you know, are less fortunate than we are.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Any other ideas?
Buying a sandwich for a homeless man.
Buying a sandwich for a homeless man. Poor lady.
old lady. Yeah, it's mostly working on that.
That says, blackberries are the way to my heart. The best friends are the ones that let you pick blackberries and beans from their garden. Yeah, if we grow things, we can share them. Oh, along the lines of what Maureen's saying, persuading supermarkets to give away food close to its sell-by date rather than throw it away. And I know the night shelter quite often has food from local supermarkets, don't they, to help those who go in. And again, we do have a food bank box at the back there, so on a small scale we can bring things and put them into the box. And I came across an idea on Facebook. It's coming up to Christmas, whether you like to think about it or not. It is coming up to Christmas. It was an idea about a reverse Advent. So, Advent calendar. The idea being, you have a box, then every day you put something into the box. Either a tin or a packet of dried fruit or food or something. And then at the end of Advent, you can give that box to the food bank or even bring it here and it can be taken to the food bank. So they're very small ways of us putting that idea into practice, taking those principles, putting it into practice. Very small ways. I'm sure there are lots of other ways that we can get involved personally and in larger groups. We are a people blessed to be a blessing, and we need to rediscover afresh the Christian vocation of hospitality to strangers. Lovely to hear your story about the Syrian gentleman. He was showing hospitality to strangers. You didn't go in, did you?
No.
No. Hospitality to strangers. In this day and age, we're so afraid of people we don't know. We teach, maybe rightly so, we teach our children not to talk to strangers. We don't allow people we don't know to do anything. We're so ridden by rules and regulations. It hampers us. And I think as Christians, we have got into our society's culture. It's ingrained in us. We need to break the boundaries and rediscover afresh hospitality to strangers. There are abundance we can share with those who seem to be on the outside of God's blessing today, those who suffer food poverty. Although even in the book of Ruth, it wasn't just about giving her food. Boaz enabled her to take food and to not just take the food, but to grind the flour so that she could take it and use it and feed her family as well. So the challenge is to allow people to feed their families with dignity. We heard in the video this morning that BMS is partner in Lebanon, doesn't just give food aid. It supports the refugees in education so that they might in time have opportunities to work and feed their family and bring blessings to others. The people of God in Lebanon are sharing their blessings with thousands of refugees like Ruth. And they need our help. How can we help? Well, certainly with our money, and Keith has suggested this morning that we can give our donations. But what about longer term? What can we as a church community do? In the next month or so, our budget team will be meeting to discuss and think and pray about what are we going to do with our money over the next year. We have been blessed with finances. Just think about what can we do with that to bless others. Talk to the budget team. Write your ideas down. Give them to Howard. How can we use our money to bless those in need? Another law gave Boaz the opportunity to be the kinsman redeemer, to rescue and marry Ruth. through this practice of protective ruling, both Ruth and Naomi are drawn from the edges to the centre of family and community life. This figure of Kinsman Redeemer prefigures Jesus, came to rescue those on the edge. And actually, that was you, that was me. He came to rescue us from the edge. And if we've known the blessing being drawn into the centre of our community, how do we respond to others who are still on the edges of the world, excluded from blessing? We all know people who don't know Jesus. We all know people who haven't experienced his redeeming love, his redeeming sacrifice. How do we respond to them? How do we treat them? What do we say to them? Some refugees aren't as photogenic as Ruth and Naomi. Yet the God of Ruth and Naomi asks us to extend our blessing to those who are on the edge. The story of Ruth takes us through calamity and restoration, from the lament that God has afflicted to celebration that God has blessed and sustained. The story ends with a different harvest. Naomi has a grandson, blessed by God, restored to the centre of a community. There are many ingredients in this change. There's the hard work. There's the often hidden workings of God. And there's a lot of risk taking too. We didn't read the end of the story, but Naomi counsels Ruth to take some rather risque action in trying to get Boaz to take up his position as Kinsman Redeemer. God was in it and it worked out for the best. But it was risky. It was risky behaviour. The wisdom of God through all of this, enabled by a community that legislates for generosity, defends the most vulnerable. Whether they're a citizen, Naomi, or whether they're a foreigner, Ruth. As we believe, we're called to be a dynamic Christian community in this place together. That might just trip off your tongue nice and easily, but with that comes responsibility. Responsibility to pass on the blessings, responsibility for those on the edges, those on the outside. We need to be seeking ways of reaching the vulnerable, looking after the fatherless, the widows, or whatever that might mean in our community, our communities. Let's keep the conversation going. But it's got to be more than a conversation, it's got to be action too. God calls us to be a dynamic Christian community. Dynamic means movement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, no one is a stranger to you, and no one is ever far from your loving care. In your kindness, watch over migrants, refugees and asylum seekers, those separated from their loved ones, those who are lost, those who have been exiled from their homes. Bring them safely to the place where they belong, and help us always to show your kindness to strangers and those in need. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.